Thank you, choir, for that good singing. It's good to see a good group up there this morning. I'll say this, I'm sure Brother Keith will be in agreement with this. We'd like to fill every seat in the choir. And when we do have the privilege of being able to build a little bigger choir, we want to fill that too. We believe that God has that in our plan. Is the sound right on this thing? I can't tell. There we go. We got a little bit more there. I just want to make sure that it's where it needs to be. Well, I'm glad to be here this morning, and it is Memorial Day. And I want to share with some facts with you first about Memorial Day, some things that I read this a couple of years ago, and I want to read this again. I've said this before several times. In all the Bible college classes that I've taken, and I have taken several, the best Bible college class that I ever took was history. Because when I studied history, and I know there's a couple of history teachers in here, and you know they're saying, yeah, right now. Well, appreciate our school teachers, we do. And amen. You know, sometimes we recognize our police and our firefighters, but I want to tell you, if you're a Christian school teacher, you're on the front lines. And we appreciate what you do. But I had a history class, and it was kind of odd because I was in Bible college, but my history teacher in Bible college was in my Sunday school class. So he'd come on Sunday school, and I'd give him the Word of God, and then a couple of nights a week, I'd go, and he'd give me history. But I had that book, and I was reading it, and I was looking at the facts of the history of the United States. Our history as we have fought in battle after battle as the country was developed. And yes, we have lost many lives, but I want to tell you something. You cannot read history of the United States and not see the hand of God. You cannot look at the conflicts that we've been in. You cannot look at the major wars that we have fought, as many as we have lost, and then you look at the things that this country has been able to do. When we would go into an island that has been really ingrained with soldiers of the enemy that had been dug in for months, expecting us to come. And as we would come, many times, the casualties that we would suffer in taking the island, although there were many, it was just a fraction of what the enemy suffered. And as I looked at that and I studied that, the reason it was the greatest Bible college course I ever took is God's hand was all over the pages. Facts about Memorial Day: it is celebrated on the last Monday in May, and as it originated, several towns claimed to be the originators of Memorial Day, but in 1966, Congress declared Waterloo, New York, to be the birthplace of the holiday. Memorial Day was originally honored military personnel who died in the Civil War from 1861 to 1865. But the holiday now honors those who died in any war while serving in the United States. It's also called Decoration Day. In May 5th, 1866, the residents of Waterloo, New York, observed a Memorial Day in honor of all who died during the Civil War. Businesses were closed and soldiers' graves were decorated. In 1868, General John Alexander Logan officially proclaims May 30th, 1868 as Memorial Day in honor of the Union soldiers who died in the Civil War. And until after World War I, the Southern states celebrated a separate Memorial Day in honor of the Confederate dead. In 1971, Congress declares Memorial Day a national holiday to be celebrated the last Monday in May. And in December 28, 2000, President Bill Clinton signs the National Moment of Remembrance Act, which designates 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day each year as the National Moment of Remembrance. And just some facts about U.S. war casualties to give you an understanding of the lives that have been lost. The Civil War, there were approximately 620,000 Americans who died. The Union Army lost almost 365,000 troops and the Confederates about 260,000. But more than half of those deaths were caused by disease. World War I, there were 116,516 Americans that lost their lives. And in that war also, more than half of those were from disease. In World War II, Americans lost 405,399 to that war. The Korean War, there were 36,574 Americans that lost their lives. The Vietnam conflict, which is getting closer, and we get to the point that we begin to really feel, because some of us have lost loved ones to conflicts. I can remember being on the phone with one of my customers during Operation Desert Shield as he began to break down as he got the news that his son, his only son, was lost in that conflict. But during the Vietnam conflict, there were 58,220 Americans who died. More than 47,000 Americans were killed in action, and nearly 11,000 died of other causes. Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, 148 U.S. battle deaths and 235 non-battle deaths. Operation Iraqi Freedom, 4,424 U.S. service members died. Operation New Dawn, 66 U.S. service members died. Operation Enduring Freedom, which is still going on in Afghanistan, as of 5/24/18, there were 2,411 U.S. service members have died. Now, folks, these are just the major conflicts that we know of, but there are others. There are other areas where people have died, in Panama, in Bosnia, in different places. And they died and they fought for our freedom. And this day is a day that's set aside. And, you know, here's the thing. Now, it's been very peaceful in my lifetime. But I can remember being on a job site, and I was out in the Duluth area, and the news came on the radio, and I was listening to the radio as we worked, and they said at that particular time, and I'm going to have to get rid of this tie, I can't get comfortable with it, so y'all bear with me. 66 countries were at war. And I'm 18 years old, and I hear that, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm primed to be drafted. And I began to think about that, Brother Billy, and I thought about what it's like. Now, here I am, you know, older in life, and I've got a boy that just graduated from high school. He's 18 years old. I've got another one that's about to be 13 coming up. And we think about those things. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But I want to tell you something. We're blessed, and we're here today because of the battles that have been fought. Amen. Now, I want to preach this morning for just a little bit on some things that we should remember. And if you got your Bibles, I want to go to 2 Peter in chapter number 1. We want to read just a few verses. We're going to read the first through the ninth verse. Our text verse is going to be the ninth verse, and then we're going to just try to concentrate on the things that God would have for us. But some things that we should remember, and if we begin in the first verse and the first chapter of 2 Peter, it says this. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, I want to read that ninth verse one more time, and we're going to concentrate on it just a little bit. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, you know, we're thankful for our soldiers, but we're in the house of the Lord this morning and we're going to talk about the ultimate price, the ultimate gift that's ever been given. So what is Memorial Day? It's these three things as I begin to look at it. It's a time to remember, it's a time to honor, but it's also a time to celebrate. You say, well, how can you celebrate in Memorial? Well, as a Christian, you know, when we send our loved ones home to be with the Lord and we have a funeral, you know, it's a time to mourn. It's a time to cry. It's a time to remember. But I want to tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, it's a time to celebrate. Because truly in this life, we're only going to be here for a short time. If you live to be 80 years old or 90 or 100 years old, life is very, very short. You know, sometimes as we're young and we don't realize that, we don't think about it, we don't understand it. But it seems like the older we get, the more that I realize that that's very, very true. Because, you know, some of us, if we understand the time that God has given us in His Word as being 70, then some of us right now, we're living on the credit. And we just thank God for every day that we have because we're already beyond that. If I begin to look at my life according to what God gives, the truth is I've already lived over 75% of the time that we're expected to have on this earth. But now I can remember when I was about 17, 16, somewhere in those years, you know, I can remember the 15th summer. You know, some of you remember, now some of you over here probably 15 right now, okay? You can't hardly wait to get your driver's license. I can remember when I had to ride a bicycle. Now, you know, I know y'all don't pedal much nowadays, but I can remember my 15th summer, I was sitting on a bicycle, and some of my friends already had their license, and, you know, they'd come riding through when I was sitting there, and they'd kind of look at me, and they'd look down, and I'd just say, yeah. It was the longest summer of my life. It seemed like it was an eternity just to get through that summer. And I can remember the things that I did. We lived in a one-story house, and I would get on top of the house, and I would jump off. I can remember being in the back of a truck one time, my uncle's truck, and I just slapped the side of the truck and flipped over the side. And when I did it, he grabbed his back. And he said, there'll come a time when you won't be able to do that. At that time, I did not understand that. Now I do. Now my son's got this jacked up truck, and I won't even ride with him because I can't get in and out of it. But things change. And the older I get, the truth is, the more respect I have for elders. The more respect I have for older people. Because I understand. I'm beginning to understand what you've gone through and what you've lived through just to get to where you're at today. But you know, it's very important. Now, here's why I said that. Sometimes people don't remember. They don't remember what God's brought them through. They don't remember what God's done for them. They don't remember their blessings. And sometimes, and I do thank God for good history teachers, but I want to tell you something. We need to teach them that somebody died for them to have the freedoms they have. Somebody died so that there's no chains on that door of the back door of this church this morning. Somebody died so that we can put the messages out on Facebook. And if we say that Jesus Christ is the only way, He is the only way. You read these scriptures and it talks about the things that are given to us. I want to tell you, because of Jesus Christ, there are exceeding great and precious promises that are promised to you and I. And it tells us how to take our faith and to build on it and to add to it and to walk in it and to stand in it and to continue in it and to remember it, because when you don't remember it, you forget where you came from and you forget what God has done in your life. So I want to share some things this morning, just some remembrance that we need to think about, some things we need to remember. And the first things we need to remember, I want us to understand, we need to remember the cross. You know, we've talked about as God has doors that begin to open for us in this church, what are we going to do? You know, I'd love to have a built-in baptismal behind me, but I've kind of come to the point that I'm just absolutely not willing to give up the cross. I'm not willing to take down the cross to put a baptismal in because you want people to come into the house of God and to see it and recognize it as a church, as a holy place, to understand what the cross represents. Amen. See, the cross is a place that Christ went for me. You know, sometimes those soldiers that went to war, they went because they had to go. Some of them went, and they went, and this, the truth is, they went as very young men. And if you've ever watched any of the documentaries where they stormed the beaches of Normandy, and you see those young men, and how many of them, when those doors would go down, they'd never even make it to the beach. They would try to get over the side. They'd try to get out the back door. But as the machine guns came, and as they were there, I tell you what was going on in their hearts and their minds, they were afraid. Some of them went volunteering. Some of them knew that if they went over there and fought, maybe the war wouldn't come here. And that was the whole goal. And you know, we think about those things and we appreciate them, but have you ever thought about the fact and really considered that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross after people had spit on him, they had plucked out his beard, they had placed a crown of thorns upon his head and pierced it and pushed it down and mocked him and ridiculed him and falsely accused him. You say, well, he didn't go for them. He went for good church people. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6 through 8. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now I want you to begin to think about just a minute what it would be like to send your son. You know, we sometimes, and I've heard stories of families that would have to see their sons go away, and it might be a mother with three sons, and all three sons would be in the conflict, and a terrible thing, but she might get a visitor. And they'd have a card, and it would be that one of her sons had passed in the battle. And then she would be grieving and she would be praying and asking God. And then a few months later, somebody else would come and he would have a card that a son had been passed in battle. There's one left and she would be crying out to God, Lord, would you please take care of my son? Lord, would you please allow my son to come home? And there's even been some instances where they would go try and find that one boy and so he could come home so that there would be one left to carry on the name. But how many of us would say, let my son go and let him die for every sinner, every sin in the world? Nobody. Nobody. But that's what Jesus did. You see, we understand the loss and we understand these lives. But what about one man, Jesus, the God-man, who went and he went to the cross, and because of his obedience, it's not a nation that survived. It's not a family that survived, but it's the whole world. It's whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We should remember the cross. As Brother Richard sings the song, somebody died for me. Jesus died for me. You know, as we remember the cross, and we should also remember the empty tomb. Now, folks, here's the thing to understand. Jesus is not a way, he is the way. He is the only way. The tomb is empty, and because the tomb is empty, well, when we come in and truly we do grieve, and sometimes, and I understand the grief, and I want to tell you something, as being a Christian and being a preacher, I want to be involved. I want to help God's people. I want to be there. But we don't grieve like the world. And the reason we don't grieve like the world, as it says in the book of 1 Thessalonians, is because we have hope. And the reason we have hope and the reason we need to remember is because that tomb is empty. You can walk by the tomb of Buddha and you can look inside and you can see bones. But I want to tell you something. The tomb of Jesus Christ is empty. Amen. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. If we're 18 or we're 80, if we're 9 or we're 90, our lives on this earth are just a vapor compared to eternity. But our promise is because the tomb is empty. You know, we also need to remember our many blessings. Now, I wasn't around during the time of World War II, but how many of you remember watching the Waltons? Remember watching those? It was set during that time. And some of the shows and the way that they played it out was really exactly like it was. They'd come down there in their old A-model Fords and their old trucks, and they'd have all their old tires in the back of the truck. And they'd carry it to the station. They'd find anything steel, anything metal, they'd bring it because they were recycling, they were rationing. And when you went to the store, you didn't, even if you had money, you couldn't go and just get everything you wanted because sugar and flour was rationed. Because shoes, you know, my kids, they got more shoes than they know what to do with. My wife needs a room for hers. But could you imagine somebody looking at you and saying, put a piece of cardboard in them. We've got to make them last a little bit longer. Yeah. I want to tell you something, people. We're blessed today. Yeah. Yeah. Remember, some of you have gardens because you enjoy gardens. I can remember coming in from work, and I lived at home till I was 22, till I got married. We lived up in LJ, and my daddy had a garden, and we lived on 3 acres. And he had about maybe a half acre in garden down there. I'd come in from work, and I'd see him in his painter clothes with a bucket. He'd be going off down that hill to that garden. And I knew he worked hard. And the only reason I went is I was convicted. Because I'd see him go down there, he'd be smiling. I'd be going along behind him like this. I hate this garden. He loved it. He enjoyed it. And yes, it did put food on the table. But how many of you remember, and some of you do, remember that if it wasn't for the garden, you wouldn't have the vegetables that were on the table. Amen. If it wasn't for the being willing to get out and grow the tomatoes, you wouldn't have them. I want to tell you, we're blessed today. Amen. To be able to go by Ingles. And hear the little sprayer come on. And the vegetables be just the right temperature. And you can go pick out anything you want. It's not like that everywhere in the world. We need to remember when. What do you mean by remember when? In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, the scripture says this. Thus saith the Lord. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, the truth is, the day and time that we're living in, and I mentioned earlier that I have a lot of respect for older people, the older I get. You know, we're living in a time today to where sometimes you have to fight to maintain that respect. They don't want to maintain the old path. They say, well, all the old stuff is no good. No, it's not. I want you to remember some important things. Remember when. Remember when America prayed. Yeah. Remember when they cried out to God. Amen. One thing that I know and understand about World War II, and this was told to be by people who have done gone on to be with the Lord, some of them that lived during that time, they said in World War II, we didn't have the doors to our church locked. It was left open because mothers would come in and they would get on the altar and pray for their sons. Daddies would come by as they come in from work and they would come around the altar and they would beg God that He would send protection. Amen. You know, sometimes, I want to tell you something. The Bible says little as much as God, if God is in it. It also teaches us this, godliness with contentment is great gain. We're in America today and we've got more than we've ever had, and yet we're as unhappy as we've ever been because we put our hope and trust in the things on this world rather than in God Himself. That's why a person can sit, go to a church with no air conditioner and praise and worship God. Yeah. We come in here this morning, I said, set them all on 67. Amen. I'd probably have to get right with the Lord if it was too hot. What about what you eat? We're living in times today, we're so blessed, we don't even realize what God's done. Well, how many of you remember just taking and getting a tomato sandwich for lunch? And a cup of coffee. And sitting down and that being the best you had, but you were able to thank God for it and you were able to rejoice in the fact that God gave it to you. I want to tell you something. We need to remember where God has brought us from. And remember what God has done for us. You remember? Remember when America worshiped. I know y'all worship here. I love coming. I love preaching. Y'all preach me. I enjoy that. But how about worship? Let me tell you what worship is. Worship is not just raising up your hands and stirring something up. Worship is an intimate relationship with the Father when He comes in, and it can be just you and Him. It can be around the family of God, but it is something that I don't care what you have in this world. I don't care where you're at. If you're not worshiping God, you're missing something, and you'll never fill it with anything else. Remember when convictions were common, when you weren't considered in the minority if you believed the Bible. Remember when true believers represented the majority of this country. Remember when the wicked were ashamed and sin was not celebrated. Remember when Father's Knows Best and the Andy Griffith Show filled primetime television. You know, I can watch the Andy Griffith Show reruns and I never get tired of them. Like coming into the house of the Lord and singing these songs. There's some things that we need to remember, and we need to remember how good it was, and rather than looking for something new, we need to realize that maybe God's already given us everything we need if we just take it and walk in it. Yeah. You know, there's things we need to remember, that there's also things we need to honor. You know, what does the world honor? It honors a nobleman. Then there's something called the Nobel Peace Prize. But I just have to tell you, there's a couple of people got that's kind of discredited it for me. Amen. Just don't mean as much since they gave it to a terrorist. Don't mean as much since they gave it to a man that said this is no longer a Christian nation. What about the fame? You got the blank Hall of Fame, whatever it is. We were fortunate enough last Sunday, and I mean this and I said this, we had some singers here, a lady who had just been inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. You know, when I'm around God's people, and I've got some pictures of some of these that I'm keeping, if we ever get us a real big church built and I get an office, I'm going to frame them and put them all on the wall. I'd rather be around God's people than anybody in the world. But sometimes what we do is we want to get an address of somebody. They ain't done nothing for God. In fact, they haven't even been a good example to our children. But that's what the world honors. It honors talent. And even sometimes talent that don't honor God. And unfortunately, sometimes the world honors sin. It's almost like it's come to a point that it says over in the book of Isaiah, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness." We've got to be careful about the things that we honor. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I've used it several times. But I want to tell you, I believe there's going to come a day when we're going to stand before the Lord. And the honor is going to come from God. The Bible talks about five crowns that God has. And I believe that the greatest thing that you and I can do with our life is live our lives in such a way that those crowns are given to us by the Lord. And we're able to take them, as it says in the book of Revelation, and we lay them at the feet of Jesus. And when He says unto us, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant, into the joys of the Lord." So what should we be honoring? Number one, we should be honoring God, Jesus Christ, as Lord. We should give Him the glory that is due. We should lift up praise to his name. The Bible tells us very plainly that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, here's what I've decided to do. I've decided to do it here. You see, because the Bible teaches us that there's going to come a time that they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that's coming. And they say they don't believe in God, they deny God, but when he stands in power, when he returns, they're going to bow. I honor him now. We ought to honor God's holy word, the Bible. We ought to honor the words of the Lord. We ought to honor the authority of God. We talked Wednesday night about 1 John chapter 1, in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. And then it goes on to say that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We ought to honor his word. Another thing we ought to honor. We ought to honor our fathers and our mothers. The Bible says that that is the first great commandment with promise. What does it say? It says, so that your days may be long upon the earth. We ought to honor our elders and our teachers. And folks, we've got a lot of them here. And we ought to look at them and look up to them and honor them and appreciate them and be thankful for them. You know, sometimes the way that God works, our rewards are not here. I have seen people be a teacher of a Sunday school class, and sometimes even this, you wonder, well, what am I doing for the Lord? You've got 5 or 6 kids or 8 or 10 or however many. You don't know what God might be planting in the heart of one of those children through the words that you say to take them and reach many people for Christ. We honor our elders. We honor our teachers. We honor those that have paved the way for us to have what we have. And the last thing I want to share with you, there are some things that we should celebrate, okay? Because Memorial Day, I think, is something to celebrate, but I want to tell you our Memorial Day is we honor Christ and we ought to look to him. We can't have anything without him. As Christians, we do not celebrate what the world celebrates. And I want to tell you, we should not celebrate what the world celebrates. We have a different system of values. We should have a different system of values. But why do we celebrate, or what do we celebrate? We celebrate, number one, I'll tell you, as Christians, because victory is ours. You see, every Sunday as we come into the house of the Lord, I tell you what it is. It's victory in Jesus Day. We come in and we celebrate and we worship because, thank God, I may not be everything that I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And as long as I'm here, he's still working on me, and he's going to keep working on me as long as I'm here until he calls me home. That's why the scripture says that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? He's going to keep working on you until you're in his presence. Can't say I've arrived. I hate to admit it, but sometimes I have to relearn stuff. Kind of like when your mama looks at you and says, hadn't I taught you better than that? Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We celebrate because victory is ours. We celebrate because the enemy has been defeated. You know, we still have enemies abroad. And I know that not every person in the United States is a Christian. But I'm still going to call it a Christian nation. And I'll tell you why. I don't care what the numbers are. You know why we have what we have today? It's because people like you on Sunday morning go to the house of God. Because it's people like you that still cry out to God in prayer. And you're still crying out to the Lord that he might save somebody. The Bible says that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation unto usward. Why hadn't Jesus come back? Because you're praying for somebody to be saved right now. Yes, we have enemies. But here's what I want you to understand. We're fighting a battle that's already won. You ever thought about that? You see, sometimes as Christians, we have these spiritual battles and these conflicts. I'll tell you why that the battle becomes intense and it intensifies. It's because just like the demon that was in the Gadarene demoniac when he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Why comest thou here to persecute us before the time?" The devil knows what's coming and he sees the train accelerating. He knows that it's coming soon and he's going to do everything he can to stop God's people. But we celebrate because the enemy has been defeated. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15:26, it says this, "The last enemy that shall be defeated is death." Who defeated that? Jesus, when he was on the cross. He went to the tomb, but he got up. In 1 Corinthians 15:55-57, it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and I know today's Memorial Day, but you know there's a whole lot of mothers that lost sons in these conflicts. A whole lot of daddies that hugged their boy bye for the last time, didn't see him come home. Some of them have already gone on to be with the Lord. You ever thought about what kind of reunion they have? When they walk into heaven and they look and they say, "There's my boy." Now, I tell you what, I want to see Jesus, but there's other people I want to see up there too. And I believe the Lord understands that and he knows that, and I believe he gives us room for that. And Brother Tom, there's going to be some reunions, there's going to be some celebrating, there's going to be some rejoicing, and that's why no matter what the enemy does, he can pester us, but he cannot take away from us what God has promised us. We're celebrating because of so many blessings. We celebrate because our walk is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." Sometimes when we're serving the Lord and it seems like the days are long and the battle is tough, it's not in vain. When you're telling somebody about the Lord and you think they're not listening and it's not going to change, it's not in vain. There's a verse in the book of Psalms that talks about all of our tears being kept in the Lord's bottle. You know, I've thought about that many times, about a praying mother, a praying grandmother. We played a video here a couple of weeks ago at Celebrate Recovery, Brother Tom. It was the one of the man. He was in a foreign country in a wrestling tournament. He gave testimony about how he had been very, very difficult and rough on his mother, about how he had treated her and how she, as a single mother, tried to raise him and care for him. He said, "I'd come in late and she would just try to talk to me, and I'd go to my room and I'd slam the door and I'd not talk to her. I wouldn't give her time." He said, "She kept loving me. She kept praying for me." And he said, you know, he said, "I was over, I think it was said it was in Japan in a wrestling tournament." And he said, "I began to think about my mother, and I thought, when I get back, I've got to go talk to her." He said, "I've been so hard on my mom." He said, "But before I could get back to her, I got a call that my mom had already gone out to be with the Lord." But you know, later in that young man's life, he got right with God, and now he's doing work for the Lord. He's serving the Lord. He's working with youth. And here's what I think God does. And you know, God can do things that go beyond your and my ability. I believe God can take that bottle of those tears, and when the time's right, he'll come and he'll just do just like that, and he'll pour them out on the head. And you know, I heard a preacher say, he was pastoring a big church, his daughter got away from God. He said she was out in the world. He said, "We just got to praying one night just around the church at the altar." And he said, God went to where she was at. He said, the next morning she fell in the doors of our house. She said, "I don't know what y'all were doing last night, but whatever it was, God rattled me." You know, we don't always see it. We don't always know it. And sometimes those loved ones of ours, they go on to be with the Lord. But I want to tell you something. God will bring it back and he'll pour it out on you. And if you're here this morning and you're not living your life for God, you're wasting it. You're living it in vain, because as Christians, our lives are not in vain. We're going to celebrate because Jesus is coming. Amen? But what about you? We're going to play a song in just a minute, but I want to ask you a question. Are you ready right now to meet God? You know, you could be saved by the... You said, well, I'm saved. I didn't ask you that. I said, are you ready right now to meet God? Amen. See, I got saved when I was 12 years old, but I can remember distinct times in my life that the Holy Spirit would speak to me. And one time I was standing in a game room. You say, well, you know, what's wrong with that? Y'all remember the game rooms? That's back before you had video games like y'all got. We'd go and we'd put the quarters in the machine. It wasn't that. It was all the fights. It was all the trouble. It was all the mischief. And I can remember standing in one of those places one time, and you say, well, what's wrong with it? You got to have your own convictions. But I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, would you want me to come back right now and find you in the shape you're in? I was saved. But that was God's voice. God ever spoke to you? Scared me. I said, no, Lord. I knew his voice. He says his sheep know his voice. I knew his voice. So I want to ask you a question. If God were to say to you right now, are you ready for me to come back right now and find you in the shape that you're in, what would you say? You see, we read that verse. He says, he that hath forgotten these things, that he's forgotten them. He's blind and he can't remember and he can't see afar off. There comes a time in every Christian's life that maybe we need to be reminded and come back to the place of refreshment and renewal in the Lord. You here this morning? You don't know Christ as your Savior. Would you want to die right now and stand before God? And you say, I don't know if I believe that. I want to tell you something. Right now, I don't believe there's anybody in this house that doesn't believe it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit bears witness. Amen. You can go into a Muslim mosque and you can stand in there and there'll never be a Holy Spirit that'll convict your soul. But you come into this house and you hear preaching and you hear singing, you will never go out those doors and be the same way because that Holy Spirit's going to remind you. I'm real, and I spoke to you. If you're here this morning, I'm going to ask you if you would please rise to your feet. You know, we believe in an altar of prayer. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and of His presence. We're going to play this song. Name of the song is He Did It All. He paid it all for me. Would you please come? We'd love to pray with you. Would you please come? We'll have ladies pray with ladies and men with men. Go ahead.